Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and so grateful you have allowed us this opportunity tonight to study your divine inspired word of truth. Lord, we ask that you be with us, Lord. Pray that our heart is open to listen to the message that Brother Otey will proclaim this evening. Pray, Lord, we will understand its admonition, its exhortation, Lord, that when we study your book, when we read your inspired word, that we understand that there are precepts in it, that there are tenets in it. If we apply them to our lives, we could perhaps save our soul. But understand the dire nature of what it is to subtract or to try to retract from anything that your inspired word has given us. As holy men of God, we're moved to record these things. Lord, pray that there's a soul listening this evening who wants to be saved, who's searching for the truth. Lord, we say thank you for placing Brother Otey in their path tonight. We ask this prayer in your son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder, and Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We're very thankful tonight to have each and every person on, and we're especially thankful to have those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We pray that you have your hearts open to receive with meekness God's engrafted word, for it's able to save your soul. Tonight, our speaker and the person of Brother Melvin Otey will come with a message following our theme for what said the scripture about adding or taking away from the word. And so he's a minister of the Diorado Church of Christ in Montgomery, Alabama, so we're going to let him come in his own way. Brother Otey, can you tell us what said the scripture about adding or taking away from the word?
All right. Good evening. Thank you guys for having me tonight. I appreciate everyone who's able to call in and think together with me about the Word of God tonight. I'd like to ask you a question as we begin. What do you think about the Word of God? I mean to say, how do you feel about the Word of God? I ask you that question because people have varying reactions to it. I mean, sometimes people have an open disdain for the Bible. That is to say, they hate the Bible. And you can even see how some people will recoil if they're in conversation with someone and someone brings up the Bible. Some people have a disdain for the Word of God. Some people don't have a disdain for it, but they're disinterested in it. You know, they think the Bible is a good piece of literature the way that Shakespeare is a good piece of literature, but they don't think that it's something that has a hold on their lives. It's not important necessarily for them to stop what they're doing to find out what it says. They may see other people conforming their lives to the Bible, and they may think, well, that's good for them, but it really doesn't have any application for me. And so they're disinterested. But, you know, there are people who are devoted to the Bible, devoted to ordering their lives around the Bible's teachings. And so I ask you tonight, what do you think about the Word of God? How do you feel about it? People who love and respect God have always held his word in high regard. You can't say that you love God and you don't love his word. You can't say that you respect God and not pursue a deep understanding of his word. If you'll remember in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 15, Samuel is talking to the people and he says to them in verse 22, has God a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of God? Behold, he says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now, he's talking to someone who says he loves God and he wants to do something for God, but he has not obeyed the word of God. And so Samuel, the prophet, asks him, wait a minute. Does God prefer that you offer something to him based on what you want, or does he prefer that you will listen to his word and do what he says? See, people who love and respect God have to have a high regard for his word. You think about Psalm 119, and in that long psalm, it's the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's a love letter, basically a love letter testifying to the psalmist's love of the word of God. In Psalm 119, for example, the Bible says in verse 1, blessed are they that are perfect in thy way, who walk in the law of Jehovah. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. In verse number 9, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 11, your word is a lamp. Your word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then verse number 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Jesus had a high regard for the word of God. You remember, Jesus would oftentimes quote from the Bible. He would read the Bible aloud to people, and he would explain, and sometimes the people who were narrating and explaining what Jesus did would refer to the word of God to explain the consequences of his actions, to explain why he did some of the things he did. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 18, till heaven and earth shall pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass away from the law, till all things be accomplished. Now, what's he saying? He says not one dot or one stroke of God's word would fail. He had a high regard for it. But see, not just a high regard for the word of God in general. He had a high regard for absolutely everything the Bible said. I'm saying to you, people who love and respect God, you know, sometimes people will say, I've got my own relationship with God. God knows my heart. Well, listen, if you have a love and respect for God, you have to have a high regard for his word. There is no other way for that to work. Jesus told his disciples, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him, John 14 and verse 23. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, John chapter 14 and verse number 15. He says, if you want to be my friend, then you'll do what I say, you'll keep my commandments, John 15 and verse 14. People who have love and respect for God have a high respect, a high regard for his word. And so I ask you, what do you think about the word of God? How do you feel about it? The Bible itself tells us that it is the word of God. You know, people just don't go around and say the Bible is the word of God for no reason. The Bible claims to be the word of God. The Bible makes this claim about itself. And so as you begin reading in the book of Genesis and read all the way through to Revelation, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the Bible is saturated with phrases like, thus says Jehovah, or the Lord said, or the word of Jehovah, or Jehovah commanded. I mean, from the beginning to the end, the Bible claims to be the word of God. And so a person who has love and respect for God will have to have love and respect for his word. And having love and respect for his word means having love and respect for the Bible. The Bible claims to be necessary for living a life that's pleasing to God. The Bible claims that those who fail to conform to its guidance will be condemned eternally. Now, that's what the Bible says about itself. So what do you think about the Bible? One of the interesting things when you think along these lines is that the Bible presents itself to us as the word of God, and there are lots of things that we can do to sort of confirm that for ourselves, but the Bible presents itself to us as the word of God, and in so doing, it tells us that we ought not to tinker with it, right? We shouldn't add anything to it. We shouldn't take anything away from it. Now, you think about this. There are some times where I may give one of my sons a message to give to my wife, and I say, listen, you go and you tell your mom this. Now, you tell her this. You tell her what I just said. That's what I want you to tell her. Now, if I give my son a message like that, he doesn't get to go and add anything to it or take anything away from it because he would have corrupted the message that I gave to my wife. This is the same thing with the Bible. God has a message for the human family, and he has communicated that message in the Bible, and then he tells us, don't add to it, don't take away from it. If that's exactly what God meant, don't add to it, don't take away from it, he could have said it one time, okay? But he said it more than one time, and I want us to take a look at that tonight because that's sort of our topic, right? Adding to or taking away from the word. What do the scriptures say about it? The scriptures do say something about it. If you've got your Bible, turn to the book of Deuteronomy in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, in Deuteronomy, the nation of Israel is preparing to go over into the promised land. The first generation of Jews had been disobedient. God told them what to do, and they didn't do it. And so they died in the wilderness. And so now a new generation has arisen, and God is going to allow them to go over into the land of promise. And so Moses is now preparing this new generation. Listen to what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. And now, O Israel, hearken or listen to the statutes and to the ordinances. These are the laws which I teach you to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which Jehovah, the God of your fathers, gives you. So the first thing he says is, God gave me commandments for you. I gave them to you, and you need to listen to them, he says, and do them. So it's not enough just to hear it. He says you need to hear it and you need to do it. And then he tells them why, because there's a consequence, that you may live and go in and possess the land which Jehovah, the God of your fathers, gives you. See, because your forefathers did not listen. They did not respect God. They did not respect his word. They did not do what he said. And so they didn't get to go into the promised land. Now you have an opportunity to do it. And in verse 2, he says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of Jehovah your God, which I command you. This is really interesting. He says, you guys need to obey the law. As God gave it to me, I gave it to you. Now you need to do it. If you'll do it the way that God said to do it, then you'll prosper. You'll go into the land and you will have the land. But he says, you cannot add to it. You cannot diminish from it. Because by adding to or diminishing from it, you would not actually be keeping the commandments of God. You see that in verse 2? Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And so you can keep the commandments. If you add to it or take away from it, you have not kept the commandments. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 4, he tells the Old Testament people of Israel, listen, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. God knew exactly what he was doing when he told you what he wanted. He didn't need your input. He didn't need your advice. You don't have to help it. He told you exactly what he wanted you to do, and now your obligation is to do it. You'll see in Proverbs chapter 30 something similar. We fast forward now in time because the nation of Israel has gone over into the land, and they've taken the land. Not only have they taken it, but God has set up a kingdom, and so they have an earthly king, and the first earthly king has died, and they had a second earthly king, and he has died, and they've got a third one. And so now they have a dynasty there in Israel. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30, if you look at verse number 5 beginning, this is the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. The Bible says, every word of God is tried. He is a shield to them that take refuge in him. Now listen to verse number 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and you be found a liar. What is he saying? Every word of God is tried. God knows exactly what he's doing. He said what he meant in the first case, and he doesn't need you to help it. You don't have to look at what God has said. Oh, hey, wait a minute. I think this is what God meant to say. Let me see if I can help him out and make it a little bit more understanding or a little bit more palatable for people. He says, no, listen, you don't add to it lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. You know, you get into trouble tinkering with perfection. God's word is perfection, and he doesn't want it to be tinkered with. If you go to the book of Revelation, which, of course, is the last book in the Bible, now, this is the last of the inspired literature that remains for us today. And in the very last chapter of the very last book, we find a very similar message. Revelation chapter 22, beginning at verse 18. The Bible says there, I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, see, here it is again. He says, those who hear it are responsible to respond to it. He says, to everyone that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to them, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. God doesn't want it tinkered with. You don't have to help it. He told you what he wanted, and all you have to do is conform your life to it. All you have to do is obey. But he says if somebody were inclined to add to it, well, then they're inviting condemnation and destruction for themselves. Now look at the next verse, 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. What is he saying? Now, if you were to try to take away from, to diminish from the message that God has given to the human family, you are just taking your name out of the book of life. You're removing yourself from access to the tree of life. These are references to eternal life. People who tinker with the word of God are compromising their soul salvation. That's what he's saying. What do you think about the Bible? See, how do you feel about it? Because people who love God and respect him, they hold the word of God in very high regard. And the Bible is the word of God. And so people who love God and respect him, they love the Bible and they respect it. And so they do not add to it and they do not take away from it. We are repeatedly told in the Bible not to tinker with the word of God because we need the word of God to know the will of God and the way we can live our lives in conformity with his will. The way that we can please him is by listening to and obeying his word. Now, you may ask yourself, why does God bother to say time and time again, don't add to the word, don't take away from the word? Why does he give these warnings? Well, friend, listen, you know as well as I do that there are plenty of people in the world who do not love God and do not respect him. They do not love his word and they do not respect it. And so they handle it in a cavalier way. People have always been inclined to try to make God's word say what it doesn't say. And they have their own reasons for that. Remember, some people hold the Bible in disdain. Some people are disinterested. They don't respect it. And I'll show you an example or two. In your Bible, turn to 1 Kings chapter 13. I want to show you that there have been people who have demonstrated a willingness to add to God's word. 1 Kings chapter 13. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 13, the kingdom of Israel, God lets the people go over and take the land, and they set up a kingdom there. And I told you they had these successions of kings. Well, when they got to the third king, he was not a very faithful man, and the kingdom was split in two. When the kingdom was split in two, you had a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom was more ungodly than the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom wasn't all that great, but the northern kingdom was further off than the southern kingdom. So God sends a prophet from the southern kingdom, from Judah, to the northern kingdom. And the man goes, and he's an unnamed prophet. He goes and he tells the king there, hey, you need to repent of the sin. You're leading these people off into the wrong kinds of behaviors and false worship and so forth. And God is going to come and he's going to judge you for all the sin that you're committing and causing the people to be engaged in. And this young man obviously had received this instruction from God. He did exactly what God told him to do. And then he left. Then he left because God told him, you know what, you go in there and you preach, but you don't stay. You don't hang around. You don't eat any food there. You don't drink any water there. You just tell them what I said, and you need to get out of town. And the man was doing that. He was leaving town. But while he was leaving, there was an older prophet there in Bethel, there in the northern kingdom. And he heard about this young preacher. And he went to find the young preacher while he was leaving. And he does find him, and he says that he wants him to come back to eat with him. Now, that's in direct contradiction to what God has said. Look with me, 1 Kings chapter 13, and maybe we'll start reading at verse number 14. The Bible says, he went after the man of God, this young preacher, and found him sitting under an oak tree and said unto him, Are you the man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am. Listen to this. Then he, the older preacher, said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he, the younger preacher, said, I may not return with you, nor go in with you, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me, listen to it, by the word of Jehovah. He says, God told me, you shall eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that you came. And he, the older preacher, said to him, I also am a prophet, as you are, and an angel spoke unto me by the word of Jehovah, saying, bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him, and he did eat bread in his house, and he drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of Jehovah came, and the prophet that brought him back, and he cried to the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus says Jehovah, forasmuch as you have been disobedient unto the mouth of Jehovah and has not kept the commandment which Jehovah your God commanded you, but came back and has eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which he said to you, eat no bread and drink no water, your body shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. That man was killed by a lion in the way. Now what happened? The younger preacher knew what God had told him. Here comes an older preacher, and he tells this young man, well, is that what God said to you? Well, God told me to tell you something else. He was lying. The scripture says that specifically. He was adding to the word of God. Can I point something out to you? This man was, in fact, a preacher, the one that was lying. He was a prophet of God. But he wasn't telling the truth. He was adding to the word of God. Now, why did he do that? Because he wanted the young man to do what he wanted him to do. See, he wasn't all that concerned about what God actually wanted. He was concerned about what he wanted. And in order to get what he wanted from this man who was doing his best, he lied to him to manipulate him. Why does the Bible tell us not to add to or take away? Because, friends, there are people who are willing to add to the word of God, and some of them are religious people. You can't just take people's word for this. You know, it's not good enough to say, well, you know, my parents always told me, or this is what I always heard, or the preacher always said. Listen, some well-meaning people just are mistaken. You know, you can be sincerely mistaken and still be wrong. Just as sincerely as you are mistaken, you can be wrong. This young man had heard for himself what God wanted from him, but he let someone mislead him by adding to the word. Friends, you and I have to be a little bit more careful than that. See, we've got the word of God right here in the Bible. We need to read this Bible, and when God tells us to do something, we can't let somebody add to it. We put our own souls in danger by doing that. Why does God tell us not to add to, not to take away? Well, because people have demonstrated their willingness to add to the word. And let me tell you something. People have also demonstrated their willingness to take away from it. If you'll remember in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible tells us that Satan was the first one to do this. You know, the Bible is really clear. God told men and told Adam and Eve that they could eat of all the trees of the fruit of the garden, but they couldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They knew that. I mean, God has spoken to them, and here comes Satan, and he wants to have a conversation, you know, about what the Bible says, you know, has God said this and that? And they say, well, you know, he told us we can eat everything in here, but we can't eat of this one tree. And then listen to what Satan says. They told him that if we eat of this tree, we will surely die. And then Satan says, you will not surely die. See, God had given them a command. He had given them a limitation. And here the devil comes along and he wants to take away the limitation that God has given. God has given them a protective barrier to keep them from something that would hurt them. And here comes the devil wanting to take away the barrier. Well, listen, Adam and Eve knew better. I mean, God had told them, what they could and couldn't do, and they knew what God had said, but they let someone come along and tell them that God didn't mean what he said. You know, that what God said is not really where the line has to be drawn. He gave you a barrier, but that's not a real barrier. He's taken away from what God has said. And Adam and Eve fell for it. And they were cast out of the garden as a consequence, and sin entered the world. But if you look at another example of that in Jeremiah chapter 36, really interesting. Jeremiah's a prophet there, and he's telling the people that hard times are coming. You know, he's prophesying to all these different kings that the remaining kingdom there in the south, Judah, is going to be carried away. And this is not a message that people really want to hear. But so Jeremiah used to get into some trouble. You know, people would try to take his life, and he would get locked up. And on one occasion, he's put down into a dungeon, into a pit. He wasn't a very popular preacher because he just preached book, chapter, and verse. You know, he just gave them what the Bible said, and it wasn't what they wanted to hear all the time. And so he wasn't always very popular. Well, there's one period of time where Jeremiah is confined, and so he cannot get out. He can't personally go out to preach. And God says to him, I want you to take all of the messages that I have given you all this time that you have been preaching, and I want you to write it down. So Jeremiah has a friend named Baruch, calls Baruch to come over. Baruch comes over, and Jeremiah is speaking all of these prophecies and this preaching that God has given him, and Baruch has written it down. Now Baruch goes out, and he starts reading what Jeremiah has told him. And when he reads it, the people hear it, and some of the people who hear it are really kind of taken by what they've heard, and they want the king to hear it. Now, the king's name is Jehoiakim. And so they take this scroll before the king, Jehoiakim, and he's a wicked king, and they begin to read the word of God to him. And the word of God is telling them, boy, you guys are sinning, and you guys are going to get into trouble for it, and the king of Babylon is going to come, and he's going to take you away, and he's going to take all of the best of the young people, and he's going to kill a bunch of the noblemen. This isn't what the king wanted to hear, but this is what the word of God says. But as they were reading the word of God, the Bible says Jehoiakim would take his penknife and cut the scroll. He would just take the Bible as it was being read to him, and the parts that he didn't like, he would just cut it away and cast it into the fire. Now, what is he doing? He's trying to take away from the word of God. Of course, the word of God is not contained by a sheet of paper. I mean, the fact is, God told Jeremiah and Baruch, they went back and wrote everything that had been on the first scroll and then some more. And guess what? Exactly what God said was going to happen happened anyway. The only thing those people did by not listening to the word of God was condemn themselves and anybody who would listen to them. Why does the Bible tell us not to add to it and not to take away from it? Because there have always been people who were willing to add to it or take away from it. And anytime somebody does that, they're not pursuing God's will, but their own. They're being selfish, and they condemn themselves, and they put other people in danger at the same time. What do you think about the word of God? How do you feel about it? People who love and respect God have always had a high regard for his word. And the Bible is the word of God. And it specifically tells us, it repeatedly tells us not to tinker with it. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. We don't have to help it, and we shouldn't try to hinder it. All we need to do is obey it. This is true regarding the way we live our lives, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we dress, the way we treat other people. We just do it the way the Bible says. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. This is true regarding the way that we worship God, the way we preach, the way we sing, the way we give. Listen, we don't add to it. We don't take away from it. We just do it the way the Bible says. This is true regarding the way we will be saved. Guess what? We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. We don't have to help it. We just do it the way the Bible says. According to the Bible, he that comes to God has to come by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Because he that comes to God has to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, there are some people who would say, well, hey, you know, children, you know, children are saved. You know, well, children are not sinners, but people might say children are elected or chosen by God to be saved before. No. In order for a person to come to God, he must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, we don't add to it. We don't take away from it. A baby is not born sin. So a baby is safe. But when a person comes to an age where they're accountable to God and they choose to sin against God, the only way for them to come to God is to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. When you want to come to God according to the Bible, you have to turn away from your sin. You can't continue to rebel against God and call yourself wanting to come to him at the same time. This is why Jesus said that anyone who wants to be saved has to turn. He says, if you don't repent, you will perish. Luke 13, verse 3, and also verse number 5. Paul said in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 that God commands all men everywhere to repent. He commands all men everywhere to repent, to change their minds about rebelling against God. Question, can anyone in the world be right with God without repenting of their sin? Because the Bible says he commands all men everywhere. Now, see, somebody that would tell you that they can be saved in their sins is obviously mistaken. Because the Bible says we are saved from our sin, not in our sin. We have to repent of our sin, turn away from it, in order to come back to and be right with God. There's never been a saved person. Now, children, as I said, are safe. There's never been a saved person who didn't believe in God, who didn't believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. There's never been a saved person who didn't on this side of the cross. There's never been a saved person who continued to walk in and abide in sin. You can't do that and be right with God. Here's something else. Anybody who wants to be saved has to be baptized to have his sins or her sins washed away. Guess what? On this side of the cross, that is after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, there is no such thing as a saved person who has not been baptized. There's no such thing. We don't have to add to or take away from what the Bible says in order to understand baptism. We do not have to help it. We just need to read it and accept it and obey it. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Who's going to be saved? Who's going to be saved if we just listen to the Bible? We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away from it. Who's going to be saved? Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I mean, since he's the one who does the saving, it probably makes sense that he knows what's necessary. He says belief and baptism. Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and 21, Peter says the like figure, that is baptism, does also now save us. You know, we don't really need to add to that. We don't need to try to take away from that. Baptism saves us. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says that we're buried with Christ in baptism, then we can rise to walk in newness of life. How is a person born again? I know you might hear some different things on television and all that. What does the Bible say? We're buried with him in baptism, then we rise again to walk in newness of life. When it comes to salvation, we should just do what the Bible says without trying to add to it or take away from it. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for your sins and for mine. We all need to believe that. And because we believe that, we need to let him rule in our lives. That means we turn away from everything that he does not approve of, anything that would offend him. We repent of our sin and turn back to God. We say with our mouths that we believe Jesus is the Son of God, because that confession, the Bible says, Romans 10, 9 and 10, moves us closer to being saved. And when we make that confession, then we can be baptized to have our sins washed away. We can become children of God. That's what the Bible says. And we don't add to it. We don't take away from it, because we love and respect God. We have a high regard for his word. We recognize that the Bible is the word of God, and he doesn't want us to add to it or take away from it. I pray that some of the things that we said tonight might be helpful to you. And we entreat you, if we can help you, to please let us know how we can.
Thank you, Brother Otey. We appreciate you so very much for the message tonight. Exactly what we want our listening audience to know, that we believe in the Churches of Christ, that the Bible is right, and we don't have to add to it or take away from it. Just do exactly what it says. So to our visitors who are on the call, we want you to know that in the Churches of Christ, we believe exactly like that. And we believe tonight that you're on the call because someone has invited you to the call, and we pray that you have received tonight God's word with meekness, and you too understand the importance of just doing it the way God said do it. So when one is baptized and then added to the one true church, only one you read about in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. And so that's what we want our listening audience to know. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, and you want to be baptized and added to that one true church according to the Bible, in Acts 2:47, the Bible says, praise of God, having faith with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. So the saved are in the Church of Christ. Now, we don't have to add to that, or we don't have to take away from it. That's just what the Bible says. That's the way we believe it. So what we want you to do tonight, get back with the person who put you on the call and tell them you're interested in becoming a member of that true church, being baptized, and you too, like us, you don't want no one teaching you something that's a lie, like that prophet did. And if anybody tell you that any church would do, that's a lie. If someone says baptism is not essential to your salvation, that's a lie. So maybe you need to get back with the person who invited you to our call and tell them you want to obey that truth. Of course, if you have questions for Brother Melvin Otey, you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and we will make sure we get that question to him. Or perhaps if you have questions for us, you want to know more, we'll make sure we'll get a teacher to you, no matter where you are in the United States or listening on this call. We will make sure we get a sound preacher to you and get a congregation close to you. They can do the baptizing, teaching you, whatever you need. We want to be able to help you, and that is as it pertains to saving your soul. Well, maybe you want to go back and listen to the message. You want to listen a little carefully, more carefully to what Brother Melvin has talked about tonight. You can go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And go on there and click on sermons, Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call Sermons. And there, Brother Otey's sermon will be uploaded, and you'll be able to download it. Not only his, but all of the great preachers we've had on this program. You can listen to any topic you desire to know more about the one church, more about the baptism. Of course, we can't get all that in one sermon, but you can go back and listen to all those different speakers that we brought on to teach from the Word of God. We carefully select our ministers, our preachers, because we don't want anyone on our call that's going to add to it or take away from it. Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this night you've given us. Thank you for this week that you've given us, which is Friday night. Thank you for all of our listening audience. Lord, we know tomorrow is not promised, but we thank you for today. Thank you for you giving us up to this point of this day. And we pray for the visitors on the call. We pray for them, Father, they will receive with meekness your word, knowing it's able to save their soul. Understand the part of what we're teaching tonight, that they cannot add to it or take from it. We pray we never be guilty of that. Thank you for giving your son, who gave his life on the cross, and hung there for 6 long hours, suffering on that cross, shed the blood that will wash our sins away in baptism, and that purchased his church, the church of Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your word, that we have your Bible, that we have, that we can read it, we can be instructed by it, we can find what we must do in order to make sure that before we die, we've done those things that are necessary to be in obedience to your will and your way. Thank you for all of our brothers and sisters across the nation who join our cause. We pray for them and all the congregations of the churches of Christ. Please, Father, bless our visitors that their hearts are open to this truth. We love you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we thank everybody for joining us this week. It's been a great week. Next week we got another great group of preachers coming on for What Said the Scripture. We're going to be looking at the whole week talking about hell. First night, that old serpent called the devil. Second night, that the lake of fire. Third night, the rulers of darkness. The doctrines of devil. And Thursday, we're going to close it out with the Lamb's Book of Life. Great speakers coming up. Go to our website. Check out all our speakers. You'll be thankful that you've listened. Have a good night's rest. May God bless you.